This is the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker, sharing real life stories and experiences. Why Your Story is produced by SVI Media and available on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app. And now, from the SVI Media Studios located in scenic Star Valley, Wyoming, here's Travis and Mary Jo with the Why Your Story podcast.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Why Your Story podcast. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And we're excited to be with you here today. We're kind of in the winter blues here in Star Valley.
That is so true.
And so we thought to spice things up today, we would get a very exciting guest.
She's sunshine.
Sunshine on a sunny day.
That is so true. That is so true. But really, she is.
Yes. Well, first of all, before we get into our guest today, MJ, you feeling okay?
I feel so good.
COVID's got you?
No.
No?
No.
Did you get the COVID shot yet?
I did.
Me too.
Next week, I think I get my second one. Well, the 25th.
I got mine yesterday in the arm, and it hurts like a mother.
See, I had zero symptoms.
You didn't have any pain at all?
None.
Not even where they put the long metal object,
The sharp point? Steve did. He said his arm was sore, but nothing. Like, the next day, I actually felt better than I'd felt in months. I was like, oh, this is really weird.
That's weird.
I know.
Huh. Well, I don't have any symptoms. You know, they say sometimes when you get it, you're supposed to get like a little fever.
I think
fever,
it's the second shot, but.
It's the second one?
Yeah.
Great.
I know.
Well, we hope all of our listeners today are healthy and well, and everybody's doing good. We appreciate you listening to us.
Yeah, we hope all of you are feeling okay. It's been a hard year, and it's looking like it's going to be an even better hard year.
Oh, my word. 2021 is already shaping up to be
It's a whopper.
Weird. A whopper.
If good it way. Was a burger, it'd be a whopper.
Hey, before we start, do you have your phone on silent?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's a first.
It really is.
So, MJ, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Our guest today is the most beautiful. I'm not going to cry because I cry a lot. But her name is Lorraine Buse.
Let's go, Lynette.
Let's go, Lynette Buse. let me just start over. Lynette Buse, who has been a teacher for 35 years in the Star Valley area. She met Bob Buse. He was teaching seminary up here, and he's from Hupper, Utah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And guess what else?
Hupper, Utah?
It's Hupper.
No, it's Hupper.
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 I told Hupper. You, because I lived right by Hupper.
I did too.
Yeah.
I lived in Clinton. Where'd you live?
Fairview. Hupper is not by Clinton.
It is,
it
too.
Is? Am I thinking of the wrong one? Which one's down by Price?
That's Hupper, I think.
Boy, we're losing here.
We're pretty much zero for this.
Okay, negative. So Hupper by Clinton, Utah.
Correct. You know that one time I took my oldest daughter, when she was a baby, President Reagan landed there to do a speech of all places. I mean, it's a very small little town. But I was living in Clinton, so I thought, well, you know, you can't always meet the President of the United States.
No.
So I took her, and it was pouring rain, except for where, of course, he was going to stand. And the Secret Service took her from me because they had to check the stroller that I didn't have anything, and her. And it was really cool. And the President said it wrong, too, and they all corrected him. It was an epic event. Did Bob go to that?
I imagine so. I do remember the time, though, yes.
Yeah, it was maybe 35, 40 years ago. It was a long time ago. But Bob Buse is Steve's third cousin. So I guess we sort of have relatives here.
We are. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Small world.
But back to Lynette.
So Lynette was my daughter Clancy's teacher, I think.
Cassidy.
Cassidy, okay. I get them all mixed up.
And did she just love her?
Cause oh, man.
Everybody loves her.
Everybody. Dad, I love Mrs. Buse. I know you do, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Everybody I had him brainwashed. Yeah,
you did good.
Yeah, that's a long time to teach little ones. Can you remember any funny things that they ever said?
Oh, my goodness, yes, but I don't dare say them on air.
I can only imagine.
You'll have to tell us after.
But I'll bet you there are a lot of kids in this valley that love Mrs. Buse.
I agree.
Well,
yep, she's loved in our home.
A lot of kids that I love, too.
You do.
I have to tell you something funny, though. You remember Lloyd Baker that lived to be 107?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have four boys that like to give me a bad time. And they would wait until we were in a public place, and they'd say, Mom, didn't you teach Lloyd Baker in kindergarten?
That's great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, funny. Well, the reason why we have her on is we'd like to get some history, a little bit of history, the history of Crow Creek. Have you driven up Crow Creek before?
Love it.
Yeah, me too. In the springtime, it's not too great because you're driving along, it's dry, and then it's muddy, and then it's
snowbank.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, but yeah, it's such a fun place to go through. And I know because I used to visit Lynette quite a bit, and she would tell us that... some stories of the Crow Creek history into Fairview. And so we'd like some of those stories.
Lynette, how did you, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, your history here in the Valley. When did you get here? Blah, 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 blah.
My maiden name is Kennington.
Oh, okay.
And the Dixon that built the first house on the Afton Town site is a great grandpa of mine.
Okay. So being a Kennington, are we related?
Yes, we are. Oh. I have an Aunt Norma.
Oh. Yes, Aunt Norma. So we are related
and
then.
Uncle Rulon.
Rather close then, we're related. Closer related than you are, MJ.
Well, I'm not at all.
You've got to remember when you live in Star Valley, you're related to everybody. That's why you talk nice.
There is a lot of truth to that.
That's true.
Sure. Well, that's wonderful, cousin. Okay, so keep going. Tell us a little about yourself and your history. Grew up in the Valley.
I did grow up in the Valley. We lived in Crow Creek. And not in Crow Creek, on Crow Creek.
And you ate fish a lot, I'm sure.
Yes, and I learned to swim in the creek. That's true. I did learn to swim in the creek.
Were you baptized in that creek? Is it creek or crick?
It is crick.
Okay, crick.
It's like Hooper and Crick.
Okay, I got to make a note
and
here.
Crick. This is Star
crick.
Valley. Crick. Yes.
So where in Crow Creek did you live growing up?
Okay, we were across the Idaho border about 9 or 10 miles from Fairview. My dad's Harb Kennington, my mother Virginia Beeler Kennington, but my dad went to work for Ray Hall after he graduated from Star Valley High School, and he had an opportunity to homestead 640 acres.
Oh,
and
that's
so
a lot.
He did. And then my mother's family, the Beelers, lived in Montpelier, and they homesteaded some more land.
I just have to point something out here. You did all hear that. I'm sure that was MJ's phone again. So remember before I started, I asked her if it was on silent. And why is it not on silent?
Because it's a new phone.
Oh, my gosh.
It is.
We're so sorry, Lynette.
Oh, we're so sorry.
That's fine. I'm sitting here
laughing.
Okay,
let's go back to the Beelers, right?
Okay. And they were from the Bear Lake Valley, but they would live on Crow Creek in the summers, and their homestead was adjacent to the one my dad had homesteaded. Anyway, long story short is he met my mother, and it was true love from then, and later down the road they were able to buy the ranch and combine the two of them, and they had a beautiful ranch up Crow Creek, and that is where we lived.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Is it still in the family at all, any of that land? No. And where about up Crow Creek is it?
The Sage Valley is to the north of where we lived, and that's kind of part of where their mine is.
Oh, what kind of mine?
The
Simplot
mine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So where would it be in comparison to the Simplot farm there now, the ranch?
Oh, where Jed Neal lives.
Yeah, where Jed Neal lives.
Oh, it is just west of it.
Oh,
okay.
In fact, part of the... Yeah, Simplot owns part of
Mead. I think they call it the Mead something.
Mm-hmm. Mead Peak Ranch.
Mead Peak Ranch. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So that's the valley.
Mm-hmm. And is somebody working it now? I mean, has somebody, or does it? Is it just like cabins and stuff?
Matt and Tatum Clark live on the
Yep.
Main part of the ranch.
Okay.
And so they are the caretakers for the owners, and they take good care of it, and they have some livestock there too.
Nice. Nice.
Beautiful place. My heavens. What a neat place to grow up.
Right. So what was your dad's job besides, I mean, that's a lot of land. What else would he do up there besides ranch and stuff? Did he help with hauling things back and forth to, into the town, or was the road opened up on the south end?
Well, before he was able to buy the ranch, he and mother, they, he did the cattle allotment, the Bear Lake Social, the Bear Lake Association cattleman lot, and he would herd the cattle between Crow Creek and Bear Lake.
Oh, wow.
And that was before there were pickups and horse trailers. Everything was done just with the horses. And so the family would live in Ephraim Valley, Elk Valley, and the halfway house during the summers, and then in Fairview during the winters. And that is, I have, my oldest brother's 20 years older than I am. So that was the three older brothers that mostly did that in Ephraim. And I was only in Ephraim for two summers. And that then after that, they had the ranch.
Nice.
But they had to homestead his 640 acres and make improvements and live there.
Sure.
So.
Wow.
So when you say that you lived in Ephraim, was there, did you have a little house there in
there
Ephraim?
There was a cabin.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. I've seen the halfway house.
And our family was the last family that lived in the halfway
house. Wow.
But that's my mom and dad and older brothers.
Wow.
Okay. And is that still there, up there?
Yeah, it's still there. The halfway house is still there.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, what's some stories? What's some things that you remember your dad told you or your mom?
Oh, probably one of the, well, this is a story that I remember. Is it okay? We would live up, now this is on the ranch in Crow Creek. That's where I came along. We moved on to the ranch when I was 3 and my sister was 6 and my other brother was 11. And so the three older boys had all moved on and married. But we were doing the haying, and of course it was all done by horses. But my dad stacked the hay, and my 11-year-old brother did the dump rake. Mother had a team of horses, and she did the push rake. My 6-year-old sister did the team of horses with the pull-up. I was 3, and so I was supposed to, I was supposed to stay and play on the hay rack. I don't know if I did, but I must have. But then... I'm still alive. But it was a lot of hard work, but a lot of good memories. And then when my sister was 9, she did the housework and cooking, and I did the push, the pull-up for, drew up the team of horses.
Wow.
So then in the fall, we would move to Fairview so that we could go to school. So we'd move the end of October and move back up to the ranch the end of April. And my dad would ride a horse up to feed the cattle up the canyon.
Okay.
Every day but Sunday. He'd feed twice on Saturday, and he said, always say they could eat it on Saturday or save some for Sunday if the deer didn't get it.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
So he would come down with you. It was the whole family would come down.
Yeah, we all moved down.
Oh, wow. And you just stayed in different places in Fairview area?
Yes. Yes. Wherever a house was available, and they were usually old, cold ones.
How cold were they?
You'd wake up in the morning, and there'd be frost on your pillow where you'd
okay, that's cold.
That's cold.
That's cold.
Yeah, that's cold.
Yeah, that's...
This is one interesting thing. I just remember my dad writing out a check for our rent. This would be 6 months. It was $150, so that's $25 a month for rent.
Wow. My
to have
heavens.
Frost on your pillows.
Yes, to have frost on your pillows.
Yeah.
How times changed.
How they
my
have changed.
My heavens.
Goodness. Oh, that's so crazy. They really made stalwart, awesome,
strong people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I'm assuming, I mean, very few people will ever get, they can't even comprehend growing up like that. Living in the back country like that and doing what you're doing. There's got to be a sense of pride in that and maybe gratitude for how you grew
both,
up.
Both. And I think one really big thing that is really fantastic with that, and a lot of people that have had that opportunity. You are a vital part of a family. You are needed, you know, in those kind of situations. You have to do your job for the family to survive, and you're an important part. You belong to something bigger than yourself. So I feel sorry for a lot of people nowadays that don't have that opportunity.
I love that she said opportunity.
I do too.
I really do. Uh-huh. That's great.
Well, thank you. There were hard times, and Mother and Dad always made it fun, though. And
what kind of things would they do to make it fun?
We read lots of stories, and we played lots of games. I remember one vacation. We milked the two old milk cows, put some hay in the back of the old 49 Ford pickup we had, and drove up to Cottonwood.
Oh.
And slept on that hay, and Mother, the next morning, made some hot cakes, we called them, and fried some eggs, and we were back in time to milk the cows in the morning.
No kidding.
That was our vacation.
That's amazing. Everybody's hearing MJ's phone go off again. That's crazy. That is just truly amazing that you did that.
One of the fun things, too, was rodeos. My brothers rodeoed, and my dad roped, did calf roping. And so we were able to go to rodeos. That was our other entertainment.
How fun. How long would it take you to get from the... You didn't have a car, right?
Yeah, we had
a car. Oh, you did have a car.
We had a
car. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So we'd go to Montpelier to some and then down here to some. One rodeo, my poor mother about had a heart attack. One of my brothers came out and on a saddle bronc, and he was hurt. And so the ambulance came to get him, and then a few riders later, another brother came out, and he got hurt. And you two will appreciate this, because the ambulance was busy, so the hearse came and got him.
Oh, oh my goodness.
That's got to be a dreaded feeling, seeing the hearse pull out to pick someone up.
Well, that was their first ambulance.
Yeah.
You know that. Yeah. They had to squish down in that. Oh, my goodness. I bet your brother was like, "Ooh, no, I'll just get up." Oh, my goodness. But you were, through the most part, everybody made it, and they were somehow survived all that hardship.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Goodness.
Yeah. One thing that was interesting, we had to get to the ranch house from the main road, which was just the dirt road, but you had to go through three gates. And so you'd go through the hayfield and the irrigation water after the first gate. And then you would get to the next gate, which was on over Crow Creek. You'd have to go through that gate, and you'd go through some more pasture. And then you'd get over to the house, and you had to go through another gate.
Mm.
So for my sister and I, if anybody dated us, they had to come through three gates and pick us up. And we'd go back through three gates. We'd go to Afton and do whatever. Then we'd come back, total of 12 gates. And my dad always just said it separated the men from the boys.
There you go. Some very words well of
said.
Advice for you.
Yes, I love that.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic.
That is fun.
So one funny thing, though, when Robert came, the very first time he ever came up there, he went through those two gates, and then he got to the third gate, was by the house. And he just left that one open. Well, you don't leave gates open on a ranch. Anyway, one of the bulls got in. So when we came back out, he thought he could maybe shoo that bull out. But my dad had to come out and get the bull out.
Oh, my.
So anyway.
Did the bull take after him or anything? Or just?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he just.
Oh, goodness. That is fun. That's fun. What's some other things that happened up there? Some other stories?
Oh, we didn't have indoor plumbing until I was 10. Yeah. And so that was always interesting.
So did you have an outhouse?
Yeah, we had an outhouse. And we would haul the water, the drinking water from a spring that was a ways away from the house. And then any bath water or washing water we just got from the ditch.
Mm.
And we had the galvanized tubs and anything like that. And so I've often wondered how my sisters-in-law that came, I bet it was a really fun thing to come to their husband's parents' home when there was no indoor plumbing, but we all survived.
Would you heat it like on a wood stove and then pour the water in? Okay. Mm-hmm. And was it like, you know, how, what's the saying about the bait, throwing the baby out?
With the bath water.
And you're the youngest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did you get the last bath?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, but.
But they kept you. They didn't throw you out.
They didn't throw me out. They may have wanted to, but they didn't. Anyway.
Oh, how fun.
So tell us a little bit about Crow Creek itself. To our listeners that don't know what Crow Creek is or what the history of it in Star Valley.
Okay, the Montpelier Creek comes along there, and then just before you start out Geneva Summit, there is the dirt road that would come over into the Crow Creek that was originally the only one way into Star Valley. And then that meets and goes down...
Now, really
becoming
quick,
Crow Creek.
Is that the road that Montpelier Reservoir is on?
Yes.
That's the road.
Yes.
Okay.
So Highway 89 is the main road, and then you turn off.
Okay.
To the reservoir. And then there are a few other little creeks that run into Crow Creek. And as it goes farther down, the one neat thing about the ranch that our parents had that was so awesome is because Sage Creek was on their property and Rock Creek was on, and then they all conjoined on the ranch and then went on down the canyon to become, Crow Creek got bigger and bigger. So part of it is in Idaho, like I said, the part that we lived. And so Mother had to bring us to school because, you know, buses and things like that.
Sure.
But, I'm not telling you what you want, probably.
No, you're not. You're doing great. You're doing great.
But they're old freight roads and things that people used in the early 1900s went through there. And we didn't have neighbors very close, but a lot of company liked to come. So we had lots of company there. And the fishing was good on Rock Creek and on Sage Creek.
That's great.
People were able to, you know, there weren't trespassing signs then. Mm-hmm. There were no.
So they would do a lot of hunting in there too?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
would you have moose, elk?
We had a lot of elk, and they would come get in the hay, a lot of deer, and occasionally moose. My dad had, up Sage Creek is where they love to fish, and he had taken a pair of old cowboy boots and had made kind of a thing that looked like a wooden headstone. And he had written on it, "Here lies the last man who left this gate open." And then he made it look like a grave and stuck the toes of the
door. Oh, I love it.
Yes.
And that was featured in magazines sometimes in that, but people shut the gate, so that was amazing.
That's wonderful.
That's good. Oh my goodness.
So you had to kind of be creative, and I think I remember our parents saying, you've got to make your own fun.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true.
Kids don't know how to do that anymore, it seems like.
Well, it's different because we didn't have TV or anything.
Yeah. Sure.
So
that's really neat. What other kind of fun things would you do? I'm assuming you would swim in the creek.
Yeah, we did that, and we hiked a lot. There was a bear den. It had caved in, but up on one of the hills there was a bear den, an old bear den, and that was fun. And built some huts around, and on the property too, over toward Rock Creek, there was an old salt mine.
Hmm.
And people had tried to mine salt out of it, but it just was not profitable. But it was fun to go over there, and you could take your socks off. And this probably says, because I must have had sweaty feet, but you'd walk around and it would fizzle under your feet.
Oh.
And if it was a dry year, you could go over. I went with our dad several times and take a pitchfork and get the salt that had solidified on top of the lake pond things.
Sure.
And use that for some of the salt for the cattle. Once we were over checking on cattle, and the horse I was on had a kind of a cut on its foot. It wasn't the real serious one. But my dad said, here, let me ride your horse a minute. So I held his horse and he got on mine and rode through a little of the salt water and we had a little rodeo, but it helped heal.
Oh, man.
Anyway,
a little crow hopping in Crow
that,
Creek.
Yeah, he said, that's why I'm doing it for the horse's benefit, you know.
Sure.
Sure. But we all had our horses, and we did a lot of horseback riding, but we did a lot of work with the horses also.
Yeah.
Branding was another fun time.
Oh, wow. That's so neat.
How many cattle would you have up there?
He had about 70 cows, 70 calves, and then 70 heifers at a time.
Okay.
He had 1,400 acres. So.
Yeah. Oh, just a little bit.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow, that is so amazing. And you just think about all of the hardships and how hard it was to, you know, you didn't have John Deere, you know, going up there and all that. It was, you know, a lot, like you said, you were out there as a kid at 6 years old and doing stuff.
It was challenging, but a lot of other people did things like that too, so.
And that road was so important because the south end wasn't opened here.
That's
and it was
true.
The only way. Mm-hmm. To get into the valley, the only way to get the mel, the only way to get supplies, and so
that's how they ship the cheese, isn't it, through Crow Creek?
I bet they did. I'm not sure about that. I do know that sometimes they had a truck that years later would take it to Idaho Falls or something.
Okay,
but I know they took a lot of things to Montpelier because a railroad was there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so they could take freight there.
What about scary things? I mean, was there anything scary or dire times that you experienced over there or people breaking down in the middle of the night? I mean,
bears,
grizzlies.
We didn't see bears that I didn't see, but there's a famous story that my dad and Golden Keach, he was from the Bear Lake Valley, but they roped a bear and then they... they didn't know quite what to do with the bear because they couldn't get the ropes off.
Sure. Did they make a bear rug?
Golden was he was left-handed and my dad was right-handed. So they could rope anything. But I guess they just decided they had to just choke the bear.
You bet.
So they
gave him a bear hug. Just a big bear hug.
Well, that's good.
Wow.
Anyway, that's kind of a famous
story. Was it a black bear or a grizzly?
It was a black bear.
Black bear.
Yeah, just a small bear. It had been bothering the sheep that were out there. And one of the sheep herders that said, we ought to take care of that bear. So that's one thing that he said.
That's wonderful.
One thing that we had that kind of was interesting, a lot of hunters would be up there. And if they got lost, they would come to our place, you know. And,
sure.
Because they could see a light or something. Mm-hmm. But, and then there was a hunter one year that was accidentally shot. But it's in Idaho, so they brought him to our place. And they had to wait for the Idaho people to come and everything. And that was a hard, sad thing. But
yeah. And were you there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did he pass away?
Yes.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
So.
Gosh. And that still is kind of a problem up that road, I will say, because when we go up there, you know, a four-wheeler's rolled or something, and it takes a while up that road.
It does, yes.
So, darn it.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Wow. Anything else you want to share with us?
Oh. I've probably talked way too much already.
Oh, no, we're just getting started.
Yeah, we've got hours to go.
Yep.
Well, I think since people know I'm kind of foolish, I one day, a hunter came down. This was during the day, but a hunter came down, and I was a young adult at this time. But he was lost, and he described where he was, and I knew right where it was. And so I said, just get in the car. We had an older Jeep, and I'll take you there. So here we are, and we headed up this canyon, and I got thinking, I am in a car with a man that I do not know, and he has a gun. What am I thinking? we made it fine, and it was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that could have ended up bad.
That could have been bad.
It's called not very streetwise.
You know, one time, this is crazy, but I was going to fly to a trauma conference in Cheyenne with a friend. And we got on the plane, and it canceled because they had a mechanical. So I had a friend that worked at the airport, and he rented us a car for really cheap. So we're driving, and at the beginning of it, I said, oh, I'm just going to say a quick prayer. I would say a prayer when I travel. And she was just like, hey, whatever. And so I said my little prayer, and I'm driving, and I blow a tire. And I was, you know, just past Bondurant, and this guy pulls over, and he's like, lady, all three of these other tires are going to pop. And so I'm like, oh, and he goes, well, you just want to get in and drive with me? And I'm like, sure. And so she was like completely freaking out. She's like, we don't know this guy. Oh, and he's like, I'm going through Cheyenne. And I'm like, okay. And so I call my husband, tell him what I'm doing. He's like, you take a picture of that man and the license plate. And what are you doing? You know, I'm like, oh, we're fine. And but I made her go in the front seat and I sat in the back. And so we get to Cheyenne. It's pouring rain and the guy's going to sleep in a tent. And I'm like, we just want to stay in our room. And I thought she was going to have a heart attack. And the guy was like, yeah. And he's like, I'll just stay in the other bed.
Oh,
I'm like,
gosh.
Okay, this is a true story.
This is never going to happen to one of my daughters.
Sometimes I'm kind of blonde. Oh. So then he's like, well, I'm just going to smoke and then I'll be up. And we're like, and then I'm thinking, what did I just do? And so he comes up. And so I, of course, make my friend Rusty sleep on the other side between us. You know, like he's over on that side and we're over on ours. And then we're laying there and I've said my prayer again. And then it was very clear to me how stupid I was. And so then I was thinking of weapons. So I got a pen and I just put it in my hand in case I had to poke his eyes out. And then I got the lamp and I unplugged it in case I had to hit him with that. And I am like, what in the heck am I thinking? And so the next morning we got up super early. Her and I were just like, boom. And out of the room by 5:30 a.m. And when we got back, he was gone. And I learned my lesson. I don't know. It makes no sense what I just did. And yeah, so you're not the only one. You're not.
Crazy.
It is super crazy. Why? Have you never picked up a hitchhiker or anything?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. And then those thoughts.
But I'm not a young blonde girl. I can hold my own.
Well, I wasn't young. I was like 30 something. I know. It was stupid. It was just dumb.
So yeah. Lynette, back to your story.
Oh yeah, back to your story.
Tell us, like, what would you eat out there? I mean, what was the main meals that your mom would cook when you're out there?
Bear
flesh. Yeah. On the bone.
That's a good question because we always had beef because it was a cattle ranch.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I grew up with meat and potatoes, you know, and mother grew a garden, and so we just had whatever you can grow in Star Valley.
Mm-hmm. Not much.
Not much. Rhubarb grows well. We had a lot of rhubarb. Mm-hmm. My mom was a good cook. She worked for the lunches because she had to bring us down to school, you know, in the fall and spring. And so she was a really good lunch lady.
Oh, I bet.
But we had a lot of homemade bread.
Is there a certain meal that when you think of your mom, you think of a certain meal?
Yes. Be roast beef and potatoes and gravy.
Okay.
Ooh, greens. Anything green you could find. No.
Yum.
Yeah. Is that still your favorite kind of when you're making dinner?
The comfort food kind of thing. Yes.
I agree.
When we always had milk cows, so we had cream and we had ice cream and stuff
like
that. So lots of cream, but.
Did you have to milk? Were you a milker?
We all took our turns. We had just the two milk cows, and so we just milked by hand.
Sure. But still, that's every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice a day.
Yeah. Yep. So. Oh, my.
That's
wow.
That's amazing.
That's so great. What's your very favorite memory of living up Crow Creek?
Probably getting on my horse and just going for a ride.
Ah.
Yeah. I love to hike, too, and get up and high and look down. It kind of helped you keep life in perspective.
That's true. What was the name of your horse?
My favorite one was Misty.
Misty.
Mm-hmm. She was a strawberry roan.
Ah,
yeah,
fun.
Oh, that's neat. That is just neat. Well, what a unique childhood. Very few people get to grow up like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and survive it.
And survive. And it sound like you...
and not complain.
All of your siblings lived through it. I mean, you didn't have any tragedies or anything like that up there.
No, we were...
It's amazing how blessed. Yeah.
We were. And a lot of credit goes to Mother. Wherever we lived and whatever we did, she made it a happy, happy home. And I didn't ever have any carpet or any drapes or any central heating until I went to college. And I did, but we never felt like we were poor or went without things, because it was great. That's and it neat. Was good. And people loved to come to our house, and we always had lots of company. And
you sound just like her. I mean, you really are. You're yeah. just a very warm person and fun.
Yep, yep.
Well, I'll end with one thing, though. Mother and Dad had this love story that was so amazing. And Mother passed away when she was just 66, and it was a hard, long time for our dad, because he lived till he was 92.
Oh.
But when I was the youngest, so when I graduated from high school, they built a new house across the canyon, because they wouldn't have to move down anymore to get the kids to school. You know, it wouldn't matter if they got snowed in.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were painting the walls one day, they started to write little love notes and stuff. They had some secret codes and things on the sheetrock. And then as they painted over it and stuff. But if the sun was just right, you could see those little notes on the wall.
Oh
that is, that, you know, that is neat. The greatest Valentine's story.
Neat.
Really.
It was
that is neat.
Really neat.
Oh, fun. So, do you remember what it said at all, any of them?
They had their own little code.
Oh, code. Things. They had their own code. That's even better.
Yeah, Morse code.
Yes,
yeah.
Their own
little. Peace code. No, it'd be Morse code. That'd be Kennington code.
It's Crick code.
Crick code.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat. How fun. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
We do. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope I haven't monopolized everything.
No,
this is wonderful. Our listeners love this stuff.
They do. They do.
Nor said anything inappropriate.
Well, we'll probably have to go back and censor about half of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, this has been great. We sure appreciate you being here with us.
We
today,
do.
Lynette.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Crow Creek is one of those things that has such amazing history for our valley and for all the residents that live here. So it's always nice to learn more about it and the people that were there.
That is true. And anybody that knows Lynette knows how beautiful she is.
Yep, absolutely.
And Bob, too. Yes, don't you roll your eyes, young lady.
Is Bob beautiful? I don't know if I know Bob.
Bob's awesome.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, you just said he was beautiful, so.
He is. He has a beautiful spirit, and
okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to come check out Bob. Bob, I haven't met you, but I'll judge if you're beautiful or not when I see you, so.
What about Bob?
Well, we appreciate everybody staying here with us for this. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
And I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
This is Why Your Story podcast, brought to you by the beautiful people that do it.
Thank you so much, everyone. And thanks, Lynette. You're great.
Thanks for joining us for the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker on SVI Media. To suggest topics or reach out to Travis and Mary Jo, email WYS@SVINews.com. That's WYS@SVINews.com. And be sure to follow Why Your Story on Facebook. Stay tuned for the next Why Your Story podcast on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app.